I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Who the hell wants a hippopotamus for Christmas? But anyway, this is the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast. This is the L-Train. And before we even get started this week, I want to wish a very happy holidays to our friends over at Nacho Mama's Food Truck. Our great, great friends who have been sponsoring us for a couple straight years now. And they serve up the best gourmet nachos on this entire planet. You got to think, you know, there's no place better. You know, north, south, east, west, Mexico, Canada. Nope, it ain't happening. This is the best thing going today. Let me tell you where they're going to be this coming week. Wednesday, Black Raven Brewing, Redmond from 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday, Stoop Brewing in Ballard, 5 to 8 p.m. Saturday, Urban Family Brewing in Magnolia, 1 to 7 p.m. And Sunday, Karn Brewing in Kenmore, 1 to 7. If you're worried about the Seahawks taking on Arizona, it's going to be on all the big screens, baby. And go check that out. Let me tell you about the specials this week. If you want to just check out the entire menu, NachoMamasSeattle.com. Nacho Lab Experimental, number 99. Cheese, chili, dog nachos, cheddar cheese sauce, all beef hot dog. Mama's. Oh, God, homemade chili. Oh, it sounds just amazing. Pickled jalapenos, sour cream, and pickled red onions. Mama's hot dog chili as a side if you want. Oh, it sounds like an entire meal. But then if you got that sweet tooth, chocolate peppermint brownie. They're amazing. Like I said, NachoMamasSeattle.com, at NachoMamas SCA on Twitter, at NachoMamas Seattle on Facebook and Instagram. Check them out. Go follow them. What I mean follow them is get in your car, follow them to where they are, and jump on some of these nachos with the best beer in the greater Seattle area. Hashtag nachos and beer. Yo, this is the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast. We're back for another great, amazing, fabulous, stupendous episode here this week, man. And first of all, before we get to it, a great episode last week with the Golden Boy himself, Travis Williams. We had a great time just kicking it and, you know, chatting up a storm. And a fabulous podcast. Got great numbers on that one and got some really great feedback on that one, and really had a good time. But anyway, this is the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode number 42. It is, as this podcast releases, 8 days from Christmas, baby. I hope everyone has their shopping done, or at least got it partly done, got it ordered, and we're doing pretty good around here at the Swaggermore household, and can't wait for Christmas. It's going to be a good time. You know, we spent this last weekend up in Enumclaw Saturday. Not Enumclaw, excuse me. Cleellum, which is totally different. I don't know why I said Enumclaw. But, well, I know why I said Enumclaw, but you'll find out at the end of the show. But anyway, went to Cleellum, and we had a great time up there. And it was snow. Did a lot of some holiday stuff with the in-laws and the kids. And just had a great time up there. And just wanted to mention it was a... because of the snow, you know, we got up there. There wasn't any snow in the forecast. There was a little bit on the ground from what they had before, But we were chilling all of a sudden. I'm like, Papa, which is grandpa of the household. And I said, it's snowing out there. He's like, no, we don't have. And he looked over and he was like, yeah, it was snowing a little bit. And then the flakes picked up a little bit. We got a good maybe not quite an hour of snow, but it was kind of nice. And for the holidays, when we go over there, I think we're going to go over there Christmas Day, hoping to see some more snow. So anyway, hopefully everyone can find their snow for this Christmas holiday. And dude, just want to just mention, Friday night was 3-2-1 Battle, and they had a great show over at the Battle Palace. Wasn't able to watch any of it that night, but then later pulled it up on Twitch. Mrs. Clams and myself, we got this new 65-inch 4K ultra high definition TV, almost too big for the living room, but it's great. And putting the 3-2-1 Battle through it in the high definition. We also have it hooked into the 5G internet speed that we have through our CenturyLink, and so it looks even more amazing than it did before. No, it's really lit up, and they had a great card that night, and really fun to watch. I watched the first half, Sunday when I came home, and then I watched that late Friday night. Excuse me, the first part of 3-2-1 Battle I watched late Friday night. And the match that really stood out to me that night, I mean, there was a couple of great ones. Liza Hall, and Travis Williams, who was just on this podcast, was phenomenal. You know, there was Eddie Van Glam and the 3-2-1 Battle Ranger, Romantic Nerds against Friends with Medics Benefits. And then, but the match for me in the first half was Daniel Maccabe and Elliot Tyler. And those guys went toe-to-toe. And, you know, Maccabe, I believe, came out on top, but just a great match, and loved it from top to bottom. And in the second half, some great stuff, man. I mean, Steve West and Judas, Bambi Hall, Alan Jepson, and Jacob Somas was on there, you know. Miggs was home, or not home. He was at the hospital having babies, so he couldn't be there for the match. But then the end, the Bird, Dave Turner, and Sonico took on the Bowlers and Tony Baroni. But they beat him, and Tony Baroni always cheats. But anyway, it was a great great time there, and watching that on Twitch with the new high-definition 4K TV over on Twitch. And so that was a great time. And if, dude, speaking of great TVs, watching stuff on TV, if you want to watch powerslam.tv, use my free promo code. That would be BFPWFREE, which the first part stands, of course, for Bigfoot Pro Wrestling. And then the second part, free, FREE. Bigfoot Pro Wrestling, FREE. BFPWFREE. Get a free 30-day trial. And you can watch ECCW, DOA, Progress, PCW Ultra, almost got twisted there, Bar Wrestling, dude, CZW, man, all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, you can watch each and every one of the Defy Nows that they put out. So go over there, powerslam.tv, use the free promo code B like big, F like foot, P like pro, W like wrestling, FREE. Baby, let's get to this week's podcast. It's a wonderful podcast, an amazing podcast. I'm proud of it. We get to speak to the one and only referee Jamie Smiles at Ref Jamie Smiles on Twitter. Amazing, amazing, amazing conversation. I almost slammed on my desk here, which would have made my mic do all kinds of weird shit, but I held back. Man, I enjoyed talking to Jamie so much. It was like just two people chatting. Actually, I didn't really chat all that much. I'd ask a question or two. She'd elaborate, and she'd gave amazing questions. She would just kind of go on and on, which I love when people are on here. And there was a few glitches. I'll let you know that right now. At the start, maybe towards the end, you know, she said she was kind of moving around with her phone that was hooked into Skype. But I cleaned it up. Most of it sounds really good. I apologize for anything that you can't hear But the best part is she's going to be back. We're talking again coming very soon. And it will drop on January the 31st, which I believe is a Tuesday. It's New Year's Eve. I'm dropping one the week before, which will be with somebody else, which I'll mention here in just a little bit. But we talk the big weekend, which was November 29th, November 30th, December 1st. She worked 3-2-1 battle on Friday night. She worked without a cause in the afternoon on Saturday, November 30th. And then she jumped in a vehicle, headed down to Seattle, and worked and debuted at her very first Defy. And then she got to go there again the next day. And so proud of her. Watched her on 3-2-1 battle shows already. Seen her at WAC one time before, I believe. And then seen her at WAC that very day. And also seen her at Defy that very same night. And also, we get into a show she worked up at ECC Dub, where it was her and Kendall Marie. I think it was at least Kendall Marie's debut, from what I remember off the top of my head. And then both of them at that Without a Cause show, they did it for the first time, just themselves. No Aubrey, no Chris Samuels, and that had to be an awesome moment. You'll hear all about it, man. And dude, it was an amazing conversation. Jamie, basically, like I said, owned it. I can't wait to talk to her again this coming week, which will drop, like I said, December the 31st. And, dude, like I said, next week I got a different podcast dropping, and it will be with the one and only. You see him at ECC Dub. You see him at Without a Cause. You've seen him at 3-2-1 Battle. The one and only Elliot Tyler, at Elliot Tyler _ on Twitter. And I can't wait to talk to him and get that podcast done. Follow me on Twitter at BFPW Podcast. And dude, listen to all the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the recent shows on SoundCloud at Pro Wrestling, or excuse me, not at, but on SoundCloud on the Pro Wrestling Only Network. You need a holiday gift? Head over to Amazon.com. Search K.A. space Miltimore. Check out all her books. They make a great holiday gift. Dude, they got paperbacks, the Kindle versions. There's three different books over there. It's all a nice long story, if you will, and check it out. And I'm the L-Train, and I am leaving the station. Hey, the L-Train, we're back for another super great episode this week. I'm really excited about this one. There's been another referee on the scene lately here in the Pacific Northwest. She recently made a debut at Defy Wrestling. She's been working over at 3-2-1. Her and another referee recently worked their first WAC show just by themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, referee Jamie Smiles. Jamie, how is it going tonight, my friend?
Hey, it is wonderful. Wonderful. It's going really good tonight. I just came back from an office party. It's incredibly wonderful to be here with you, Lyle. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad to have you. I reached out to a friend of yours, and because I didn't figure out a way to reach out to you other than, you know, just saying something to you straight on Twitter, which I usually don't like to do. I like to make it private, you know. Let you decide, yeah. Not put people on the spot. And your friend Kendall sent the message. You got back to me, and I'm sitting here talking to you tonight. And thank you so much.
Excellent. That was really sweet of you. Thank you. But yeah, never be afraid to ask me any questions. Come up to me at a live show. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. So yeah, just hit me up on whether it's private or public. I'm all ears. Got an open heart, and I got an open mouth. I'll do it. So yeah, man, it's nice. Thank you. Thank you for being so supportive too. Yeah,
you're welcome. And you know, before I hit the button to start the recording process, you're telling me, and you even mentioned just a second ago, you got home from this office party, and you're so excited. I'm sitting here talking to you in the open, and you're more excited about this prize you won than some of the wrestling almost. Like, break down this amazing prize that you won, and how did you win this prize anyway?
So I live in Everett. I live in Everett, Washington. About half an hour north of Seattle, Washington. And I just got a job recently. My newest job I just got recently. I work at a local hotel near me, and I love it. It's a humbling experience. I've been all sorts of jobs in my life. Never been fired from any single one. And I've gone through so many different types of jobs and ended up to work wrestling into my life, into my nightly schedule. There was a fan in 3-2-1 Battle who had been going to live shows exactly the same amount of time that I had been going. So I talked with them outside, you know, and they told me they had a job opening. So I hit them up. So ironically, a fan, one of 3-2-1 Battles, one of their top fans, they gave me a job offer. And now I work at the hotel with them. They trained me. I got my job there about 3 months ago. And today they had a hotel office party. We all went go-kart racing about 10 minutes away from my apartment. And I came in seventh place. Not too bad. I swear I thought I was doing better. I really thought I was doing better. There were like 15 employees. Came in seventh. It's good. I put in some legitimate effort on the helmet and gloves. Man, that is so fun. It is so fun. But I came in seventh place. However, I still won the biggest prize, which is raffle prizes. And everyone was getting stuff. They had some Secret Santa gifts. We had some raffle prize winners. And I won the last one, the biggest one, an Instant Pot, man, is going to be doing so much cooking. You were just telling me earlier about this amazing chili that you made. And I was, okay, I'm starting to change my mind, starting to get excited for it. I know I live with my older brother, so, man, he's going to go bonkers for this thing. He's going to love it. So
you won the Instapot, and we talked about some great chili that you can cook. You can make chili in that thing in like 20 minutes or less. There's a lasagna soup. There's a million things you can cook in that Instapot. Just Google Instapot recipes, and your life will change, Jamie.
Yes, I can't wait.
So, if I can distract you from the Instapot just for a moment here, let's talk about a weekend that happened a couple weekends ago that really, I think, puts you on a lot of people's radar. The weekend of Friday, November 29th, Saturday the 30th, and Sunday, December 1st. First, let's talk about Friday night. 3-2-1 Battle. You've already worked there previously. That's where you come from with the great Christopher Samuels. Chris Samuels, excuse me. I don't know why I call him Christopher. But tell us about 3-2-1 Battle and their big show that night. And what'd you do on the show? It looks like I think the whole crew was there that night, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, what did I do on that show? that was two shows ago, I believe. Was it two shows? It was last week. Last week, 1 or 2 weeks ago, man. That, you know, I'm starting to get more opportunities and challenges every live show that I'm getting. And to work the 3-2-1 Battle and to work with that crowd, the amount of talent that flies in and out and that comes there regularly every week, every day for some of them, it's just I feel so blessed. It's in some ways overwhelming and just absolutely unbelievable, but the happiest I've ever been has been training and working with all of the talent there at 3-2-1 Battle. I'm serious. What matches did I do on Friday?
I'm trying to get my computer up here, but it's being a little slow. But I know Effie was on that, taking on Eddie Van Glam in the main event. I don't know who ref that. Probably maybe Aubrey, because I think I heard her. She had to wash out her shirt and get all that stain out of there or something like that. But that was the show that I'm talking about.
All right, hold on. I got all my wrestling photos here.
Nice.
To remind me of all the crazy shenanigans. Okay.
3, 2, 1, C-Punk.
That's what it was. I know, man, Miggs, Steve Miggs, he's a troublemaker. I swear. Sometimes it's hard to control that guy.
That damn Miggs.
When you put a mic in his hand and just, man, but sometimes I gotta keep a close eye on him when he steps in those ropes, man. I gotta keep a close eye on him. And the green screen too. Because I know he's starting to use all the cats, all the security around the ring to help him secure his place. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how he's gonna fare.
Well, I see he's not showing up this Friday night because something about family or a baby or something.
He's got Officer Cooper showing him for him, one of his cronies.
Taking on Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. We got some bad blood between them, so now it was pretty intense.
So yeah, that 3-2-1 battle show, that kind of started off the weekend, off a great weekend, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And also I got into the ring. I think there's a match between Pitfall and Bambi. Pitfall Jones and Bambi. Oh man. Those two are absolutely amazing competitors. Amazing competitors. I never thought I would be in the same ring with them at the same time. When I first started going to 3-2-1 battle shows back in 2018, Bambi Hall. She was the first wrestler I walked up to, took some selfies with. At least the first wrestler I had the courage, to walk up to. I'm marking out, MC and all this wonderful talent. And I told her, first time I met her, I said, I asked her, hey, are you okay? And she had this massive black eye on her face, this massive black eye that I think it was Daniel Maccabi, like, gave her a forearm smash, or maybe it was Christian Andes or Mr. Fitness. It was one of those three, and man, they gave her a brutal forearm smash to the face.
Ouch.
She had a legitimate black eye. So wow, this is like, wow, they are really intense. They are really intense. The crowd is intense and so passionate. Mommy is she's unbelievable. She's unbelievable. But Bambi, I asked her, I said, look, are you all right? Are you feeling good? Can you see straight? Can you hear me? And she was she was lovely. Opened up her heart, gave me a big warm hug. And I told her in the next 1 or 2 years, I'll be stepping in the ring with you. And I wasn't sure if I was going to go down the wrestling path or the referee path. I'm doing both, but I'm learning that I love being a referee. So when I stepped in the ring with her, and Pitfall Jones, who's just an amazing, amazing wrestler. He's a lot more, in my opinion, he's a lot more acrobatic and agile than some people think. Depends on who you put him in the ring with.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw the Pitbull and Babby going at it, like, wow, that was a really intense match. So I always go into every single ring and the locker room full with as much heart and with a clear mind, a big heart, and I just try to do my best. Whatever I can do to help them shine the most, or just get so much heat with the crowd, whatever I can do to help them tell a story, I am 100% there. Doing that for that show, man, it was just specifically working with the talent. It doesn't matter what spot the match is in the card for that night, but when I get new talent in the ring or existing talent that I personally never steps in the ring with, and I've never seen their story, I've never seen their emotions and their energy, and to feel that live and the vibrations with the crowd, man, it's addicting. It's addicting.
I bet.
And the crowd there, yeah, the crowd at 3-2-1 battle is unbelievable. unbelievably passionate. So that was a pretty wild night, man. As for the Jell-O wrestling, it wasn't Jell-O wrestling, but as for the Jell-O spot, man, that was really cool because I actually debuted in Jell-O wrestling just 2 or 3 months ago. Yeah, I think I debuted in Jell-O wrestling. They needed some people as a backup, so I decided, you know what? Like, to hell with it. I'm going to do it.
Like, for don't real? For real, yeah. Jell-O wrestling.
For real, Jell-O wrestling. Wiggly, jiggly, Jell-O underground wrestling. And when I saw that, I knew exactly how wild things were going to get. But man, I didn't know the match was going to go off. It was a pop. I was so excited to see them. I was, you know, scared for their safety as always. But man, once you bring out that Jell-O, that's another level of hardcore. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I did see Effie, you know, tweet out about that, you know, like he wanted to do some hardcore and great stuff when he came into the area. And he's like, yeah, a Jell-O pool outside the ring at 3-2-1 battle was great. And how was it having Effie there backstage? That was his first time there?
I think it was his first time there.
Yeah, I thought his first time up here.
He's funny. He's a joker. I like it. He's a gentleman, but he's a joker at times.
Well, that's nice.
It's honestly hard to tell him and Eddie Van Glam apart in the locker room. They legitimately look the same. They're like the same. They're pretty much the same height, give or take. Their jackets look the same. Their asses look the same where they're like when they're warming up and flexing. Like,
yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, like one of their left cheeks just looks like the other's right cheek. It's like they just they fit.
Nice.
So when I saw them in that ring, and then they switched jackets. Oh, that was hilarious. then I legitimately lost track of, wait a minute, who's who? Because more than half the time when I'm in the back locker rooms there at 3-2-1 battle, you know, I'm not watching it from the crowd's point of view. I'm watching it from the hard cam point of view. So I'm looking at the screen. I'm putting some stuff away in my bag. Then I turn around back to the screen and they're wearing different jackets. So what is going on here? Okay. So
that's pretty cool. I know Eddie online, on Twitter, on social media for a long time, has been really wanting that match. And so I'm happy he finally got that match. And, you know, I'm not asking you to give anything away, but I bet he was like a kid in a candy store backstage when he found, you know, when this day was happening.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. And did that match deliver? For sure.
So. Oh, man.
I can't wait for him to come back. Because oh, yeah. I know, man, at the end of it, I know Eddie snapped. He snapped, man. Wanted it. It was supposed to be his spot, but he snapped, so
yeah.
He's still a bit raw about that, but we'll see.
Well, I'd love to see Effie come back to town sometime soon, and if nothing else, for the Battle Manias that happen usually around April.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we're going to talk more 3-2-1 here in a minute, or a few minutes, or maybe in a little while, because we're having a great chat here. But I want to get to the second thing that weekend that happened. I jumped in my vehicle, my big orange bus, I call it. We got a nice orange Jeep that my wife really loves. So we jumped in there, me and my wife. We headed up to Everett for Without a Cause. Was it Daddy's Home?
Daddy's Home.
And we got there and watching the matches. And I noticed a little theme here between one ref and another ref. And I didn't see usually the other guy that comes out, but we saw you and Kendall Marie, and tell us about that night. You told me a little bit about this off air.
Oh yeah, man. Whack Without a Cause wrestling. I love it. That night specifically, it meant so much to me. I was so, so, so nervous going into this show for that day. I started training around the same time that Juicebox Kid, a.k.a. Kendall Marie,
mm-hmm.
The same time she started training, I started training as well. She's about maybe 3 months, maybe 4 months. She started training before me about 3-4 months earlier. And when it came to referee training, me and her were always like almost like a pair. Every time we would step into the ring, we would take turns doing reps and repetitions, getting trained by Go Hebner, also known as Aubrey Edwards, and Chris Samuels, 3-2-1 battle. And they would train us every week. They still do, believe it or not. They still do help us really fine-tune our craft and our performance in the ring and our understanding of helping talent tell a story in the ring. And when me and her got the opportunity to referee WAC, you know, we were just so excited. I was incredibly nervous because I know they're going to have me do the event there for the first time, the main event there for the first time. It's like, oh wow, this is. I was shocked. I was thinking, why didn't you choose her first? She's much better than me. But WAC, the actual event, the actual live event, the venue, the room, the building itself, it's only about a 10 or 15 minutes. And it took me a few shows to realize how close it was. Nice. And how easy it was for me to just hop in my car, go see this amazing event. I missed the first few shows, then I started going. After maybe the fifth or sixth live WAC event, I started going every month. And now I'm working it. And it just scared me so much because I, for a while, I had only been used to just adult crowds. Adult-only crowds, 21 and only crowds, all right. Not necessarily all ages. I hadn't been used to having ring audience on all sides of the ring yet. I was so used to a 3-2-1 battle. And now I do other promotions besides just WAC. With the talent that was flying in, the amazing talent that was flying in, for the situation that other referees were either injured or they were simply unavailable due to other scheduling issues. So me and Juicebox, we took the reins. That morning, I drove down to Auburn, picked her up, drove back to Everett.
Damn.
I know that WAC is only like 10 or 15 minutes away from my apartment, but this poor girl needs it right there. She's got to be like right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her back. She's got mine. I go pick her up. And we arrive. And what we didn't know was that we were going to coordinate the whole show. You know, usually there's the majority of indie shows, whether it's televised or it's an indie show that's not broadcasted or anything. You know, it's still being recorded 99% of the time. And so some shows have earpieces. We have time cues to make sure to keep the matches on track and to keep the show on track, to keep the pace going for the audience. And we had no idea that we were going to coordinate the whole thing. We're going to be in charge of our own time cues. We're going to be in charge of just every aspect of it from the very beginning to the end. So it wasn't just the fact that me and Juicebox were both the only referees there for that night with such amazing talent that's come in for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But like it, everything went super smoothly. Well, from our point of view, I know the wrestlers, man, there was blood. There was blood. There were shenanigans, that's for sure. And, I couldn't have done that WAC event without her help.
Well,
Kendall Marie really, really stepped up her game. And just, yeah, we worked so well with each other, both in practice and there in the ring at live shows. Just amazing to see her do her craft and bring that magic to life from the matches and the wrestlers.
Well,
so it was memorable that day, that Saturday afternoon on November 30th. Man, I was so nervous about that. More so than the event I had to do right after.
We'll get to that one in a minute, but I did see the earpieces. I was like, what's going on? They're wearing earpieces and stuff. So that kind of just explained that. But no, just a person I was sitting there in the second row on facing the camera. And I had a blast that night. I thought the both of you did amazing. You know, I was proud because I have spoken to Kendall and been watching her do her thing for a little while now. I know she's been out with some injuries and things like that. So I was so happy to see her doing her thing, and then you, and I was like, when's Chris coming out? Wait, he's not here. These ladies are doing it. And even at that point, I was like, oh, he's probably backstage coordinating this whole thing. So good on you guys for just working it out, going in there and doing your thing. And it shows that, you know, first of all, you guys got great heads on your shoulders. Second of all, you're come from great training, and you know what the hell you're doing.
Thank you. You know, all of this is possible because of Chris and Gro Hebner, because of Chris and Aubrey Edwards, their patience with our mistakes, their patience with my mistakes, and taking the time to learn to be a good referee. Wow, I just would go into it with, try to go into every single match. Every time I step in between the ropes, I just got all of their notes, all of their teachings in my head every single time. And hopefully if Juice Box is there, man, she's always got my back. That is a tough, 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 tough girl. That is one tough chick. With what her body goes through physically in terms of injury, and she still manages to pull out her best at every single show, and not just physically in the ring. I mean, her best with the fans and the interactions and everything. So every time I work a show with her, well, I'm just backstage. I'm just marking out, and I'm watching the talent. I'm watching the matches. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. It's a joy. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Well, like I said, good for you too, and good on you making your mark, you know, doing the main events and just having a great time. And so later that day, there was this other little show down in Seattle, Defy. And I'm sitting up on the stage where my seats were with my wife. You know, we were with the earlier one. We went, got out of there, went and had some food, and then headed over to Defy. And there was a match with a bunch of people in it. And she goes, hey, there's the girl from WAC today. I'm like, no, there's the guy there or whatever. And then she's like, no, she's outside the ring. And I was like, oh, my God, she's here. So tell me about how this all came about and debuting at Defy.
Oh, man, that debut, man, I was that whole weekend working four live shows back to back. Wow, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. I pulled through. So that night, I have been volunteering at Defy for about maybe 3 months now. I think around September or October of 2019, that's when I started volunteering, helping with the ring teardown, setting up the event, cleaning up the place afterwards, whether it's trash pickup or putting all the gear back into the trucks. And I just wanted to really do my part in this promotion. I had always loved the talent going through there. Some of the people, I know that Aubrey Edwards, referee Aubrey, she used to work at Defy as well before her schedule didn't allow her to do that anymore.
Right.
But the first time I had ever gone to a Defy show, ironically, was the same night that Aubrey Edwards was having her last night as referee.
Oh, wow.
Her very last night as referee there was my first time going to a Defy show. I had known about Defy. I watched Defy videos all the time, and I love the talent coming from there. But one of the head security staff, he goes by the name Hero. Mm-hmm. Hero, I would train with him in the ring, a few times per month. I had no idea he was in charge of security and crew at Defy. I didn't have a clue. He was a cool guy. He was a nice guy, and we trained together. And he would always see me working the 3-2-1 battle shows, and I had no idea he was part of the crew at Defy. So I asked him permission. I said, "Hey, can I join in and volunteer? I'll do anything. You need me to look at the front door, I'll do it. You need me to look at a trash can, I'll do it. Anything you need, just let me know. I'm new here, but I'll still do everything I can. So just whatever you need, I'll help out." Mm. And so he set me up. The first night, he just said, you know what, Jamie, just relax. Just watch the show, see how you do it, and let me know what you think afterwards. So I watched the show. It was a blast, man. Mm-hmm. I think it was Jimmy, it was Ryan's last time there. Last night at Defy, it was referee Aubrey Edwards last night at Defy, and Darby Allen's last night at Defy as well.
Yep.
All those things were moving on to somewhere with more dynamite.
And nice.
Now, suddenly there is a spot. Where is an open referee spot? But that's the last thing on my mind. Because I'm just going in trying to do my dues for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, however long I need to. Because I just love it, man. I love wrestling. Love everything about it. That's a whole another 2 or 3 hour talk about that. But when I just know that any way I can help a promotion, just help them with their product or the event. And I'm a fan myself, so I just go in there with a lot of passion, a lot of energy. And they started noticing that I was volunteering every single show. I was volunteering all the time. I would try to be the last 5 or 10 people that leave the building, put everything in the truck. I always want to be that last person, because the show's over when the show's over, you know, when everything is cleaned up and put away. And I've, from the start to the end, I just want to put as much as my heart, as much as my mind into it. And suddenly there was a night I was just so tired from work, so tired from training. I turned my phone off. My phone battery dies. I'm tired. I'm just going to sleep in. I'm going to snooze. This is a wonderful day because I get to sleep in, man.
Nice.
And so now I turn my phone on. It's like at 5%. And the first message I see is from Matt Farmer. And it says, "Hey, we might need some help with some referee work. You know, am I available?" I said, "No. I must still be sleeping or something."
Still
it must be a bug on my phone. Like, no. So I legitimately restarted my phone, and there the message was again. It's the same message. Do I want to referee for the upcoming Defy? I said, "Wow, like that's wow. I mean, I do, but it's a lot of live shows, man. That's a lot. I have to like remember, and that's a lot of talent I have to keep safe. I got a 3-2-1, and I got, you know what? I can do it. Why not? Let's just go for it." I had no idea what matches I was gonna get on the card. They had some amazing talent flying that evening. And I just showed up to do my best. I just, whatever they need, I will give it 100%.
Let me know real quick, before that day, you knew it was coming. Did you reach out to Chris or Aubrey and say, "Holy shit"?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. That hour, within the hour, I said, "Wow." I said, is this legit? So it was just great. Anytime I get invited or requested, or even just asked for a backup. That's actually how I started my referee debut as a backup, actually. It's because they needed someone really quickly, and I said, all right, I'll do it. Let's do this. Anytime I get a chance to help out any new promotion, at least for me, if it's new promotion for me and I've never worked there, the people are all new to me. I don't know any of the staff. And I really start to know everyone week by week, month by month. I start to see who are the regular fans. Who, like, when the talent and when the referees, when we look out into the crowds and we see the people's, like, excitement on their faces, and we see the regulars, even people who've never seen a live wrestling show before, and then they see all of this amazing energy and emotions coming out from each match. That's magical, and it's really hard to get that in other types of entertainment, other forms of entertainment, and other multimedia, to experience a live indie show and all that passion and energy right up front. After finally being given the opportunity to actually referee, to actually step into the ring with these superhuman, unbelievably talented human beings. Stepping in the ring with them, it's an incredible, incredible honor for me. It's on a personal level and on a professional level. So when they asked me to just lace up my boots and step them in the ring for it, and the first match they give me is the women's world champions. Wow. Like, wow. So when I was in the ring standing next to the announcer, Steve Miggs, I look down to the crowd and I see my trainer, Aubrey Edwards.
Yep.
She looks at me and she gives me the signal. And she silently says, just breathe, just breathe. Just calm down. So Steve Miggs, he looks right back at me, puts the microphone close to his chest so that audience can hear it. Steve Miggs looks at me and he's like, no, don't listen to her. You got this. Don't listen to her. I'm just flipping out. I got legendary, because I'm a huge fan of Strong Style. We can go back to that. Actually, trained for 1 month in Thailand at the same promotion where Emi Sakura and Rio came from, actually. Anyways, it's another story. So I love Strong Style. When I saw Meiko Satomura, like, whoa, like this chick, she's unbelievable. And I see Nicole Savoy from Shimmer, like, wow. It's just two unbelievably intelligent women, beautiful women, uniquely athletically gifted. And to watch them put on that amazing title match, considering their language differences and their backgrounds in wrestling. But, man, they pulled off an amazing show. You see, every time I referee a match, that emotion on my face is genuine. I legitimately have no idea what's going to happen next to the match. I don't. I call it because it's. I call it how I see it.
Yeah,
I call it how I see it.
That's the way it should be. That's the way announcers like JR and, you know, used to do it in the day. And he might still, I don't know. But, you know, back in the day on Raw, he didn't want to know anything about the matches. He just wanted to call them naturally as he saw them. And that's so awesome that you do that.
It's like, even if I think the match is going to end on this pin, I have no idea. So, man, that's just, it's unbelievable to see talent, especially from Japan, fly over. And that is what really drew me initially to Defy. It was seeing the surge in the talent in all the Pacific Northwest. A lot of the wrestlers, broadcasters, authors, and the actual referees themselves. So just to see them start to grow and come out of this Northwest region, Defy are always bringing in talent from Japan. I love Japanese wrestling. That's the first style of wrestling that I saw as a child, was Japanese wrestling, before Hulk Hogan and Earthquake and Ultimate Warrior and stuff. So stepping into that ring that night at Defy, wow, that was really That was it. I thought, you know, if I can get away, if I can survive this match, maybe the next day will go good too.
Well, I was sitting right behind one of your mentors and trainers, the lady that's making a name for herself at AEW, Miss Referee Aubrey, and she looked more than excited to see you doing your thing. It's like she's looking at one of her kids out there.
I am definitely one of her kids. 100%. Ironically, I think I'm older than her in age, but I am sure as hell one of her kids. I'm one of her babies. And she will not hesitate to correct me that same week. She doesn't wait the next day or the next month. No, if she hears about it or she sees it, no, she'll definitely put a stop to some of the mistakes that I make. So, and I love that tough love.
Well, I think I've heard your good friend Kendall say that too. And when she didn't do what needed to be done, Mrs. Aubrey, Mrs. Referee Aubrey, got on her ass.
Oh yeah, it's happened to me every month. Every month, it still does. It still does. She's the best. She's the goat.
Tell us, before we get to too much Aubrey and Chris Samuels here, so you got to come back the next day and be a part of Defy on the Sunday show, did you not?
Yeah, I was. That was a blast.
All right, well, tell us about what happened there. I wasn't at that show. I was home resting my ass after two shows on, on Saturday, and I didn't even, all I had to do was sit in a chair. So I don't know how people like you, you know, Travis Williams, a lot of the guys that were on a couple of these shows, three shows, did it. So props to you. But anyway, tell us, break us down Sunday at Defy.
Thank you. Defy, I think that night there were only two referees. So I refereed half the show. I think there were seven matches. I refereed three of them. I did not know that was going to happen at all. I thought I was just going to get maybe one or two matches, but, one of the referees from the previous night, he had to pull out. He was scheduled to be somewhere else. So I was offered to go ahead and keep the rules clean for half the show. And I was also going at it. Okay. So that day, it was a Sunday. My hotel job starts at 5 a.m. and it gets out at 2 p.m. So the way my entire weekend went, is I had 3-2-1 battle on Friday night. And I did what I could to help the tear down and clean up as much as I can. Most of the time, the crew knows what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're dedicated. And they go right to it, and they commit. So I do the show, I do what I can for my part of the crew, and then I go to WAC on Sunday afternoon. I finish Defy at night. I still stay for the cleanup, and I get back home 2:30-ish, 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Take a shower, no time to rest because my hotel job is starting at 5 a.m. So then I do that. And then as of now, I got a small fever, not because I was overworked, but because there's a few of the Defy wrestlers who flew in who had a fever while they were wrestling, and they gave me a fever.
Oh, no.
So I'm not going to say who it is, but they were like, but so I was starting a fever, and I didn't, you know, as being a performer in the ring and working around food at a hotel, I cannot get sick. I have to try to, as soon as I get sick, I better be healed in 4 days or less. Mm. I have to be. It's my job. It's my lifestyle. I have to be. And so I start to get a fever, so I'm just down in all sorts of cough drops, DayQuil, 5-hour energy, whatever I can get to just stay. well, somewhat clean.
I don't know if that 5-hour energy is great to go along with all that medication, though.
Not really. I learned that the hard way. But, and so when I went into the second day of Wrestle Summit 2, or Defy, the second day was their all-ages show. And that's great, because I love hearing the kids chant, man. It's cool. When you hear a bunch of kids saying, you know, whatever wrestler's name, and they say, you know, like, gonna kill you, gonna kill you. I love that. It's like a Nightmare on Elm Street thing. It's like, wow, like, this actually exists. And, like, it's so jolly to hear. It fills my heart out with such warmth. But anyways, when I went into that second show, I had just come off my 9-hour hotel shift. So I had just done 3 live shows back to back, and then I still had to work my hotel job, and then I finally get to Dubai.
So
I do the thing, and then the last thing I expected to have in the ring was a dance off between there were 6 of the world's top wrestlers at a 6-man tag. And of course they had a dance off in there. I mean, dance offs can get pretty personal, but yeah, that was pretty wild. That was a wild night. I had the opening match, crazy triple threat match, with a returning star Sonico, who'd spent a little while in Japan.
Right.
He had to come back. And so I opened up that match with him. So the opening match, I think I did. There is a tag team match with EOP and I think Artemis Spencer, Travis Williams.
All right, and, Icarus.
And then Icarus. It's Icarus. Wow, those guys. Jeez, talking about like never blinking. My gosh. Those guys don't even breathe. I mean, they're like superhuman, breathtaking superhuman. But then I stepped in the ring with all these 6 beautifully athletic women. I mean, all of these girls were amazing, man.
Oh.
And they just went at it. They went at it. They talked shit in the ring. They talked shit backstage. They talked shit on the staircase. They just went at it. It was awesome. It was the best place to be, but it was also the last place I expected to be. I mean, making my debut at Defy, making my main event debut at WAC, and then dealing with new talent all in 3-2-1, I'm not going to lie, it can be overwhelming. I like to think of it as like you're climbing a mountain, and you work hard to reach a certain level, and I'm trying to get used to the air. I'm trying to get used to the air levels out here and just ride things out. But that's not what's happening, man. It just keeps going up, 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 and up. And that's what I felt like that whole weekend. Mm. Just one challenge after another. But I remind myself that, at least I remind myself that when I go into the ring, that, you know, the eyes are not on me. They're on the talent. They're on all the wrestling talent and the stories that they're telling. So I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan myself. I mean, I'm working the shows, but I'm a fan, man. For me, it's like the ultimate ticket. It's like the best ticket in the house. Where, legitimately, yeah, it's like the ultimate version of VR. Like, this is so cool. And the way I see it, at least, the way I'm able to professionally bring is I think of it, if you're a D&D, if you ever play Dungeon, you're the DM, you're the Dungeon Master. Man, you got all the rules, you got all the numbers. And when I step into that ring, I'm like, there! I'm like, yo, we're going to do this. I'm going to keep the rules like safe. I'm going to keep you guys safe, keep the rules clean. We're going to finish this match. We're going to, from the beginning to the end, and a better win in a clean 1-2-3 or else.
Hmm.
Or else. Yeah, the Defy show was really incredible. When I was writing out that second show in Defy, that was all of my energy. I was just gassed after it. But well, I was just awake, just so awakened by experiencing a new crowd. It's like when I'm working with talent in front of one crowd compared to another crowd, while stepping into the ring is familiar, refereeing matches are familiar, I've only been refereeing, officially refereeing for about 5 to 6 months.
Okay.
And I never thought I would be, on a monthly basis being a referee for, I think it's about 5 or 6 promotions now. And that includes 3-2-1 and FI.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 5CC Wrestling, Lucha Volcanica Wrestling, WAC, Without a Cause Wrestling, WAC, Defy Wrestling, 3-2-1 Battle, and now up in Vancouver, Canada, just recently.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You and, I don't know if it was it your debut along with Kendall, or was it just her debut? I'm looking at a picture right now on Twitter.
Both of our debuts right at the same time.
Same day. So tell us about that. Was it just the two of you? Was there other referees there from ECC Dub, or how's it work?
Yeah. There were two other referees from ECCW. It was Scooter and Parm. Those two guys, they did their magic, kept everyone cool. And me and Juicebox, Kendall Marie, we drove up. I drove, I carpooled her and Logan from 5CC. He was in the crowd supporting her, so I brought those two from Everett. But embarrassing. Now, this is before the show. I have been driving. Okay, I'm an open book. I'm an open book, and this is 100% true, but I have never, in 20 years of driving, I have never gotten in a car accident. Not one. No one's hit me. I've never hit anyone else. Until that night of ECCW.
Oh, no.
20 years of driving, I had never gotten into an accident until that night of ECCW. About 4 hours before the event happened, I arrived there safely with Juicebox.
Well, tell
us. So we got there really early, but on the way there, my car hit a dip and it went flying in the air. When I landed, my car did a 180, completely scratched all up against the side railing. And this is over a bridge too, with water underneath. This is about a mile or less than a mile before the customs border checkpoint. So it was just very embarrassing, man. Just very embarrassing. I mean, so right after that, everything was good. I was still able to drive the car. I've been trained to drive cars, not flying cars. All right. So when my car was flying in the air and it landed, it just spun out. But I didn't hit anyone, just hit the side railing. I was more embarrassed than I was frightened, ironically. And so when I went into that show, I was still shooken up the whole show. I was just shooken up, man, that whole show. But we got there safely, and I did my best. I pulled it off, so.
How did you get home with the mashed up car?
The car was still drivable, lights still working.
Oh, okay.
But all the auto shops were closed. So, one of the caretakers of the venue there at ECCW, the venue they were using, one of the caretakers, she suggested we use the local fire department. So I went down to the fire department and those gentlemen helped me. And so I've been having to use my spare tire for a week, but it's cool. I'm going to take my car in like tomorrow morning to try to fix it up. But so there's the fire department. They helped me change my tire because my tire would have popped if I kept driving it the way it was. There was metal scraping against rubber. That's never a good thing. So it would have taken me forever to get home anyways. So I went home. I got home safely, thanks to the fire department, local Vancouver fire department changing out my tire and bending the metal back for me. I went home. I didn't have time to sleep yet because I still had my hotel job. So I get home at 3:30 a.m. that morning, and then I still have to work my hotel job the next day. But back to ECCW that night, though. That night, man, it was unbelievable. The crowd. The crowd's always really joyful. So for all of the crowd in the Pacific Northwest area, they're really passionate. They're really passionate about wrestling, especially about the support of local wrestlers. And so, yeah, they had, I think, Cat Powers went up against Artemis Spencer for that night at ECCW. I think referee Kendall Marie Juicebox, she did the women's championship.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
It was a really cool match. It was Rhea Von Slasher versus Bambi Hall. And like, wow. Oh. I love seeing those two girls go at it, man. Whew. A lot of beauty, a lot of power. Just knocking it right there in the ring.
Oh, so my gosh.
She had her hands full. She had her hands full.
How did she do?
Oh, man. Well, I know, as for Juicebox, I know that her arm was injured for a while. She had a small tear or something during practice exhibition match. So when she went in to referee, I was just concerned about her health and safety because I know her arm had physically been having a problem, but she's tough. She's tough and she's just the type of person that will prove me wrong. So when I saw her just doing those matches, I had to drive her there safely. and then I had the main event as well. So I was really, yeah, I was a bit shaken up just from my own mistakes in life that have nothing to do with wrestling. Just trying to be a better driver. but you know, I learned a lesson, and I learned how to calm myself down from what my trainers, my referee trainers, Chris Samuels and Aubrey Edwards, what they tell me is to not dwell on my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to grow is to move forward. Is I can let it frustrate me as for that day, for that night, but I keep it in me for a week or a few days or longer, just becomes toxic, becomes poisonous. And to really learn from my mistakes, and at that moment, I really had to snap out of it, remind myself that I'm here now in the ring with all these wonderful fans and this amazing talent. So I was able to keep the people safe for that night. But Travis, when I got in the ring with Travis, it's never really safe around that guy. I can't trust that guy. I can't.
He's dirty.
He knocked me on my ass. Man, I should have saw it coming.
Here's a question. Is there any difference between a Canadian crowd and an American crowd at a wrestling event that you notice?
My answer is I do not have enough experience yet to tell the difference.
and I only ask that real quick just to let you know why. I've been to concerts. I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. I've seen Pearl Jam more times than I've seen wrestling matches. But and I've seen a lot of wrestling matches. But Pearl Jam, I went to an American show. I've went to Canadian shows. The Canadian crowds for a concert are so much fun. And that's nothing against the American crowds. I'm an American. But It was so much fun going to Canada to watch a Pearl Jam show. It was like everyone was dancing. They were so friendly. Everything was just a lot of fun. And that's why I watched. And that's why I asked that question.
Oh, then yes. 100%. Yeah, the crowd, man, everyone seemed really chill, real relaxed. But let's just say there are way more shenanigans than I thought there would be at ECCW. Way more. I'm like, whoa, okay. Just, I wasn't prepared for it, but I had fun. I wasn't prepared to have that much fun. I was just like, man, I'm just trying to keep Juicebox safe for my driving. And then, but man, that crowd. Yeah, that crowd is, as soon as they step out. And I think a few of them started to chant my name, which always throws me off. Anytime I step in front of a crowd and they cheer for me or actually start to chant my name, Jamie Smiles, it's such a wonderful feeling, but truthfully, it throws me off, man. I mean, like in the best way, because I'm going out there. I'm like, I'm in my headspace, right? I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep this match clean. We'll be serious. You know, I got to be authoritative, right? So I'm the authority, and I go out like no more shenanigans. And then the crowd just erupts, and then I feel their passion and I hear their chants. It's such a wonderful feeling, but it does kind of throw me off sometimes. Like, whoa, I did not expect that. So the Canadian crowd, that's kind of how I felt with them.
Nice.
Where that joyous roar of just the crowd having fun, having that just unapologetic fun. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Shenanigans, yo.
I cannot wait to go back to ECCW. I think I'm scheduled to be there again this month, so I'll be doing my part to keep everyone safe.
I've got
to
give
everyone the time.
I got to get my enhanced license so I can head up. Scotty Mack has invited me to some of those ballroom ball shows, and I'm like, I don't got my enhanced license yet or my passport, but I got to get that together and get up for one of those shows so I can, you know, sit really close and watch yourself and Kendall and, you know, any one of the other folks that come up do your job.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Always, please come up to me and just say hello, say hi. Even even just that. I love it. I love just seeing them. I like seeing... Wrestling is in a lot of ways, it's about people. It's about people. It's about the people who come to the, especially during the holidays, in my opinion, especially in the holidays, there's some people that come to the crowd because they might not be having the best month. They might not be having the best week or the best day. So I always want to do my best to make sure that when they leave legitimately feeling cheered up, feeling like in the darkest time of the night, in the darkest time of the year, the cold weather and whatever's going on in their personal or family lives, that when they leave a show that I'm helping to put on as a referee, whether that's WAC or Defy or 3-2 in Battle or ECCW, I really just want the fans to genuinely come out with a smile on their face, with that genuine feeling of just joy and unexpected happiness, where they didn't actually think that they were going to have that good of a time. And then they come out like, wow, that was incredible. Let's come back another time. Let's come back again and do it again. I love that. Because especially for first-time fans, that feeling is really magical. That feeling is really magical.
And Jamie, I'm sorry, yeah, go ahead.
I definitely recommend anyone go up to an ECCW show Or Wack Show. Or Defy Show.
Any shows around here. We got a lot of good ones. 3-2-1, Defy, Wack. You know, if you want to go to Oregon, there's WCWC and Prestige and DOA. And there's just so much stuff going on. Lucha Underground, you know. And Jamie, we have talked just about that weekend for just over an hour right now. And I know,
I think I can hear my dog barking
in the background. But anyway, we're having a blast. I've had an amazing time chatting with you. What do you think about coming back for part two in the next week or two?
Oh, I'm down for it.
Because I want to talk to you about your past, where you came from, where you first, you know, even heard about wrestling. Were you an athlete? Were you a gamer? You know, what kind of, where'd you come from? That kind of stuff. And then get into when you first started training. I heard you when you first started going to 3-2-1 battles shows and asking Bambi Hall, you know, and saying hi and all that kind of stuff. I think we should have part two in the next week or two. And I'd love to have you back because you're amazing.
Thank you. You're amazing. You're breathtaking. Well, Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to have a good chat with you. I always love a warm conversation, especially with someone who knows passionate and you just know so much, both in your heart and just worldly knowledge of the world of professional wrestling. I mean, it's really amazing to hear all of your podcasts too. I listen to your stuff too, man. You're good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. You're good. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. This has really made my night so much more. I mean, first the go-kart race and then Instant Pot and then the chili recipe. That threw me off already. Like 20 minutes. Are you kidding me?
Dude,
and now this, we've only talked about 4 days of wrestling. We've only talked 4 days of wrestling, and that was just my point of view. There's so much already. There is so much out there, and there's more to come. There's so much wrestling right now. This year was amazing in wrestling. I don't have the insight yet to what wrestling will be like in 2020, but I do know that I am blessed to be a part of it. And thanks to my trainers, thanks to you, thanks to Juicebox Kid, Kennel Marie, I will be stepping into 2020, stepping into the ropes again. The first week of January, actually. I'm booked for two different shows, actually, the very first week of January 2020. And I'll be going in there, going into this next year, trying to represent the best of my abilities and go in with all of my heart. But this is going to be cool. This next year, it's going to be a roller coaster for all of wrestling. What do you think?
It is going to be amazing. There's so much stuff going on. I mean, just think here in the Northwest. All those promotions I just talked about, flying in. Some of our people, women, men, are going to get signed to contracts soon, go to the next level. There's going to be more people stepping up. You know, for every Aubrey Edwards that jumps out, now we have a Kendall Marie. We have a Jamie. You know, there's another gal coming up from what I see. There's a nice group of, you know, you folks coming up from the 3-2-1 battle training. You know, Chris Samuels is doing a fabulous job with all you guys, along with Aubrey when she's there, I'm sure. But it seems like she's still there all the time, even though she's big time in that little promotion we watch every Wednesday on TNT. But congratulations to you. I had a blast talking to you here tonight. We've never talked, never spoke, never met. And we talk like people that have known each other for years. And I thank you so much.
Thank you. And you're welcome, Brooklyn, for having me. I enjoyed it too. It was much better than I expected. I love it.
Well,
and I expect expected really, 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 really good things. And this is way better than that.
Oh, yeah.
You really did bring a huge smile to my face tonight. Thank you, Lyle.
So happy for you, Jamie. I'm happy I made you smile. I'm happy you're doing great things with all the promotions around here. And you know what? Let's come back here in a week or two, tell your story from the beginning, and let everyone know what's up.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you for having me, everyone. Bye-bye. Bless you. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Jamie.
And in case I don't see you again, have a happy new year and Merry Christmas.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.